1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Earth has been hit by the strongest solar storm since 2003. What was predicted to be a G4 geomagnetic storm packed an even stronger punch, hitting us a couple of hours ago as an extreme G5. CBS's Michael Toscano.
Astronomer Derek Pitts of the Franklin Institute tells CBS News what might be affected.
Satellites in orbit, communication systems, and also power grid systems.
The solar flares ejecting plasma and magnetic fields generate high electrical current. This also generates aurora, the northern lights, that Derek Pitts says won't just be northern this weekend.
It's being predicted that aurora could be seen as far south as Alabama, which is really unheard of.
Michael Toscano, CBS News.
The last extreme event in 2003 resulted in power outages in Sweden and damaged transformers in South Africa. It appears that two tornadoes hit northern Florida early today, killing a woman when a tree fell on her home. CBS's Christian Benavides.
Fierce howling winds slammed into Tallahassee early this morning, packing powerful 84-mile-per-hour winds, which left behind widespread destruction, ripped off rooftops, tossed vehicles, downed power lines, and toppled trees.
There's trees in people's houses. You got trees on top of houses.
It's part of a weather system that has been wreaking havoc across the South and much of the central Midwest.
The system has moved to the Carolinas. A report that the State Department has delivered to Congress says U.S. weapons may have been used in Gaza in ways inconsistent with international law. CBS's Olivia Gazis explains.
Part of the difficulty in coming to a definitive assessment is the fact that Gaza is an active war zone and Hamas's use of civilian buildings for military infrastructure. The report also says Israel was not currently restricting the delivery of humanitarian aid, though it had also not fully cooperated in the months after October 7th.
The Biden administration recently paused a shipment of bombs to Israel on concerns they'd be used against civilians in Rafah. Former President Donald Trump will be back in a New York courtroom on Monday for his so-called hush money trial, and his longtime fixer, Michael Cohen, is expected to take the stand. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
He is going to be expansive in his answers, probably much more than the prosecution would like, and certainly going to be a difficult witness for the defense to control.
The Biden administration announces $200 million in new funding to fight bird flu after the virus spread among cattle across 9 states. The CDC says the chances of catching it are remote. Vanderbilt University's infectious disease expert, Dr. William Schaffner, stresses.
Milk, cheese, yogurt, all those good dairy products continue to be safe.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are in court fighting the Department of Natural Resources over a big factory farm in central Wisconsin. Adam Voskel is with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He says the DNR should have allowed public input on the CAFO's wastewater permit.
We're seeing concerns over CAFOs in western Wisconsin, too, where there have been significant spills and fish kills.
The DNR has a month to respond. The Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers and bicyclists to be aware of their surroundings, to share the road, and keep everyone safe. The State Patrol highlights bicycle safety each May. Bicycles are considered vehicles in Wisconsin with the same rights and responsibilities. Last year, 7 bicyclists were killed in crashes in Wisconsin and 699 people were injured. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers blanked the Cardinals' ace. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cards 7-1. St. Louis starter and Cy Young winner Sonny Gray giving up home runs to the Brewers' Rhys Hoskins, Jake Bowers, and third baseman Joey Ortiz, manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, Sonny's arguing that last 9 starts, he's given up 2 runs or less, arguably a top-tier pitcher in the league, and I thought, you know, we had the best approach we've ever had against him. I've seen him pitch against us many times. We had a great approach. We really did.
The Brewers now have a six-game winning streak against St. Louis dating back to last season. NBA, the Bucks' Pat Beverly will serve a four-game suspension next season for throwing a basketball at a heckling Pacers fan, then refusing to take questions from a female ESPN reporter. Did Doc Rivers confront Beverly?
Yeah, I did. I did right away because that's not the Milwaukee way or the Bucks way. We're better than that. Pat feels awful about that, and he let the emotions get the better of him.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms tonight, mostly clear, a little breezy, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, nice day, high in the upper 60s. Sunshine to start Sunday, then increasing clouds for the afternoon, chance of storms late, high near 80. Right now it's 53.
Pat Kreidlow.
Monday marks the annual Day Without Childcare. We'll ask again why some politicians would rather make more women quit work and stay home.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cut and cut, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, we got a couple things going on, Haley. First, we're going to have our friend State Senator Mary Kunish on, but later in the show, we're going to have our new friend on.
Yeah, Alyssa Peely, who is, just drafted the first round draft for the Minnesota Lynx in our WNBA here in the state of Minnesota. So we're really excited to welcome Alyssa home to her home away from home.
Yeah, it was really fun. She is... really excited, and I'll tell you, there's a couple other, I saw on Facebook, a couple other draft picks that did not get the homecoming that she did, and we're really excited that the state and the Lynx are a class act, so that's really awesome to see. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish. Welcome, as always. It's our fun Friday.
Oh, hi, everyone. Happy to be here. Good to be here with all of you.
Yeah, I don't mean to do this right away, but we had a little controversy going on this past week. And I was wondering, I know you have some updates that you could share with our people out there and maybe just give a little background. But I know it's hard. Things change and people are more accepting, and there it's just the world turns, but I don't know, State Senator, if you mind updating our listeners on what I'm talking about.
So this is a super sensitive, super emotionally charged situation where the Minnesota Historical Society has in their possession, this is just really hard even to say out loud, a noose that is believed to have been used in the mass hanging of the 38 plus Dakota men in Mankato. And Prairie Island, one of our Dakota tribes has asked for it to be returned, to be repatriated to them. And there's been a lot of social media out there stating that the Historical Society won't turn it over. They're not going to turn it over. But I have, firsthand assurance from the Historical Society that they are in the process of getting it repatriated back to the tribe. The thing is that they just can't like put it in a box and hand it over. They have to follow really strict NAGPRA laws. NAGPRA is the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. It's a federal law that has been around for maybe 30 plus years, I think, where when a tribe asks or a Native group asks for some of the artifacts to be returned, or if graves have been disturbed or removed, that any of the remains or the funerary items can go back to the tribe. And it's a strict law, and there's a real process, and I don't know what the process is exactly. I have a feeling that it will be more like months rather than years. Mm-hmm. that goes back to the tribe. But as you said, there's been a lot of social media out there about the Historical Society not refusing or slow walking the return, but I've been assured that that's not the case. And so just wanted to kind of put that out there.
What's the background of this, where it was around somebody's neck and they dug them up, or was that the background, or how did they end up with the hanging rope of one of the 38?
You know, I don't know the full facts. I think there have been a couple of different renditions of mm-hmm. how that came about to be, that somebody, you know, cut it off the neck of the guy and kept it as a war memento, all kinds of different situations. But I honestly don't know exactly how they were able to, you know, how this came into somebody's possession. But I'm just glad that it's getting back to the Prairie Island Indian community, and that we're able to treat it with the honor and the sacredness and the respect that it deserves.
Yes, absolutely. And that's great. I appreciate that update because I have not been, well, you're not only a great guest, you are now a reporter of Native Roots Radio. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, it's you know, I saw a lot of social media that was going on. I mean, even nationally, there were people making comments about that, and I did, you know, it was kind of like on my to-do list this past week to look into it, and then I ran into somebody from the Historic Society, and they set me straight. So I was glad to have that information, and when people have been coming to me and asking questions, I can speak with some authority on it. So rest assured, it is in the process, but again, we have to follow those very strict federal laws and make sure that it's going, and we know this will go to the right place, the Prairie Island Band, but that we're following those guidelines, those laws, and it'll be returned to somewhere where it'll be revered with honor.
Yeah. So we also have coming up very soon, and you'll be on next Friday, so we'll be a few days into it, but we have Native American Month here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And we have a big kickoff coming on the 1st.
Yeah, there's lots going on around the Twin Cities, around Minnesota. Minneapolis and St. Paul, but mostly Minneapolis, has the largest urban Native population in the States. And so, you know, there's a lot going on when we have these sort of events. And with the kickoff of May 1st of American Indian Month, we are also celebrating the grand opening of our very own Minneapolis American Indian Center. And it's been closed since 2022. For renovations. I'm pleased to say that the state put you know, has invested quite a bit into that renovation. The city of Minneapolis, the federal government has put a lot of dollars, and then there have been individual philanthropic places that also have contributed to, like, I think it's almost over $30 million renovation. And I was there last night for a soft opening. Mm-hmm. It is so beautiful, Robert and Haley. I can't even tell you. I mean, I walked in that side door, and you all know what that side door is from the parking lot, and you walk into a whole new world. It's just like going through a time warp. And and I'm so sorry, I can't think of the gentleman's name who did the prayer yesterday. Was it Steve? Well, he did a beautiful job, and we can talk about it more when we come back.
Yeah, definitely. And see how much of an old pro, former representative and now state senator, Mary Kunisch's for Native Roots Radio. She's got the cue, and she's bringing us to commercial. Right on. Hey, we're here, and it's fun Friday here, and we love spending it with the state senator with all the positive vibes and great insight and also up-to-date news. So, hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Seward Co-op offers convenient grab-and-go options as well as hot bars and salad bars at both the Friendship and our newly remodeled Franklin store. Breakfast items are available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch is served all day every Sunday. Our weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight culinary traditions and cuisines from around the world. We offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free items every day. 90% of the ingredients used are from organic, local, and small-scale producers whenever possible. Learn more at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice David from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunisch and her grandbabies. So this will be fun, and they're growing up right in front of us.
Yeah.
This is really, really fun to see. When we were on commercial break there, it's like one of them said, "Where's Rita? Is that Rita? Where's Rita?" You know, having a conversation with you.
Yep. Yep. This is Sylvie, and she's about a year and a half old, and she's a little under the weather today. So she's kind of clingy. But she's a sweetheart, so I don't mind.
Hey, so we were talking a little bit about the Indian Center in Minneapolis, renovations. What else did you see in there? I know the gym's kind of the same, but it's been renovated, and now it's
a lot. It's beautiful. Nice. It's just beautiful in there, fresh. You don't have to put buckets down when it rains anymore. A new floor in there as well. There's a beautiful meeting room, a really huge, large meeting room, an exercise area for folks to come in and practice healthy habits. The restaurant is back, so there'll be that. Mm-hmm. And then the center, and I was just saying, when you walk into that side door from the parking lot, mm-hmm. It's like walking through a time warp, because you walk in and you just walk into this beautiful, beautiful center atrium that is, and if you look up, it's like you're in the inside of a drum. Mm. Of course, we have the gift shop with the jewelry and that sort of thing in there. And then all those offices and support systems that they've been providing to the community for close to 50 years. And It was interesting to talk to people, because so many of them are like, the lieutenant governor was there and she said, this is where I met the first time I met my dad. Oh. And then people started saying, well, this is where I first this or I first that. And I won't tell you who it was, but somebody confessed it was where they had their first kiss behind the bleachers.
that was Dr. Know? Stately, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh.
I
didn't know that.
I think he said that on our show.
Oh, did he really? Yeah. So it was just a really great, great. And so many of the leaders of the other organizations were there to celebrate and welcome it. And Senator Smith was there, and Klobuchar, and the mayor. It was just really and food. The food that came out of the restaurant there was delicious. My sister was in town, my sister Patrice, so she was there. Nice. Just a lot of, it was good feeling. It was just, everybody was so happy. Karen Clark, do you know Karen Clark?
Yes.
Former Representative Karen Clark, she fought for the Native community all the decades that she served in the House. And she handed so much of that over to me when she left the House, because mm-hmm. I was serving in the House at that time. But I reminded them of the time, one of the first years I was there, it was a bonding year. And Karen Clark was carrying a bill to get money to the Indian Center, and it mm-hmm. wasn't going to be in the bill. And she organized me and Susan Allen, who was the first state rep, Native state rep, Peggy Flanagan, who was a rep then, Jimmy Becker Finn, and me. And we like stood up and said, we will not vote for this bonding bill unless you include this money in there. And it worked. I mean, that was like my first big, like, wow, the power of my vote in my caucus, you know? So it was really lovely to see Karen there. And Mary, you know, is just a phenomenal leader and advocate for the center. And so on May 1st, they'll have their grand opening. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, there's a powwow. I think it starts at 5:00. Yeah. But that's, I hope I can get over there. We have, we're getting to the close to the end of our session. And so a lot of our big bills are omnibus bills. we have to get those off the floor and over to the House and back and forth. So there's lots of work to do before we're done by Memorial Day.
Yeah. And I remember too, with Lieutenant Governor and the governor, they started their campaign for running at the Indian Center, if I remember.
Yeah. Right. Yep. She mentioned that as well. They announced their candidacy for governor, lieutenant governor at the Indian Center. So, you know, that's a really important thing. And we're talking about AIM, that was one of the original areas for AIM to start their work. And I had to remind folks, I reminded them that my dad has one of his original cards, and it never expired. It never expires. So I'm thinking that must be something that can be handed down generation to generation. So I like to think of myself as a descendant of an AIM leader.
You're an AIMster gangster. Well,
AIMster gangster. Yes, I love that.
Well, that's, you know, Clyde always said, if you think you're AIM, you are AIM. And so I've taken that to heart over the years. And matter of fact, Clyde and his brother were really instrumental in getting the Indian Center and a lot of those things that are on Franklin Avenue, Native American Community Clinic and all those things. And so it's good to hear and good to see and see that American Indian Movement is there with the celebration.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but somebody told me that there is a room specifically for AIM in there. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool if we had sort of a historical place within that the center to for people to bring photographs and memories and maybe an old AIM card or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, just really acknowledge and recognize how invaluable that AIM has been to that community for over 50 years. I mean, even right. before the center was there, they were doing that work. And it yeah. really is a community for the community.
There's I understand, too, one of my former students is working there and has been working there. And she said that she'll be teaching media. So that's, I sent her a resume, or I sent her a couple examples I don't even remember what it's called anymore. It's been so long since I've been a teacher, a syllabus on video and film. And so she'll be teaching that. And I hear there's going to be a big area for that too.
Who is that?
Misko.
I think I saw her yesterday too. Yeah, I recognized her, and she had some brochures and was doing some recordings of people while we were there. So she's doing the work already.
Yeah, that's awesome. She was a student of mine and awesome. And she used to do the morning news once or twice a week through the whole school. And there was 2,000 people watching her every day.
Well, I think she was Indian princess of
yep
mm-hmm. But didn't she go to McAllister as well?
She went to
not McAllister, Augsburg.
Yes, Augsburg. Yep.
Yeah, Augsburg has the really strong American Indian program there, and so yeah, it was really great running into her yesterday.
Yeah, she's been on the show many times and also worked for us at the store when we were in Dayton. She was a manager there. And so she's a doer, and she's their media person now. So she's been doing all the great TikToks and media about what's going on there. And I know they have drum and dance and things like that that are going to be moved back into the center.
Mm-hmm. It'll be so exciting to see all the incredible things that are going to be happening there, provided for the community from, you know, really from birth, pre-birth, actually, all the way through, you know, our elders and that sort of thing. Just so important. And I am carrying legislation to get those dollars to do the work. And it's like one of the most important things and most proud things that I've been able to do at the legislature.
Yeah. Kudos, and it's definitely known out there in the community of the great work you're doing and collaboration you're doing with all the Native community, mm-hmm. All the people in the Native community and organizations, nonprofits. So we got a couple minutes left. What else are you doing? I know all month is going to be very busy, but you're also winding down at the Capitol.
Yep, we are at the stage where we're taking all the bits and pieces of bills and putting them together into one big, what we call an omnibus bill, trying to keep policy separate from finance. I'm the chair of education finance, so I'm looking at the monies that we received and trying to disperse it in the very, very, very best way possible. And this year for Indian Country, we're trying to get the four BIE Indian schools into the school trust land dollar disbursement. I think we'll get it done this time. That's never been happened before. So that'll be a real, real feather in our...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air. CBS News Brief. An extreme geomagnetic storm reaches the Earth for the first time in 21 years, possibly affecting satellites and power grid systems. Space.com's Joe Rayo adds,
with the fact that we are now at a G5 level, something that is not often seen, this may allow the Northern Lights to be seen all the way down to as far south as the Gulf coastal states, southern Texas, California.
One person has died in northern Florida storm. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We had what appeared to have been on radar at least two tornadoes in the Tallahassee area. And then even where there weren't tornadoes, there were straight line wind damage.
When the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump resumes on Monday, Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, is expected to hit the stand. CBS News legal contributor Ricky Kleeman.
It will be something to behold both during direct and cross-examination.
The judge has told Cohen to remain quiet ahead of his testimony. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service confirms two tornadoes touched down Tuesday afternoon in Walworth County. One was an EF0 near Walworth. The other was an EF1 near Darien. Officials report damage, but no injuries in both cases. Ballot drop boxes may be back in Wisconsin this fall. Conservatives say drop boxes give liberals an unfair advantage. Research shows drop boxes actually help rural voters, older voters, and voters with disabilities.
There's a societal myth that people with disabilities lean in one direction more than another in the political voting. We see that as really untrue.
Denise Jess of the Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition. She spoke with Wisconsin Eye. The state Supreme Court hears oral arguments Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Whoopi Goldberg tried to cast Pope Francis in Sister Act 3. The 68-year-old host of The View said she offered the Pope a role in the film when she met him last October. Goldberg talked about the Pope's acting chops. Goldberg talked about how much she liked the Pope because he is inclusive, adding that the Pope said he would get back to her. Classic Hollywood jargon. As progressive as the Pope seems, do not expect him to appear topless unless you want to pay him a lot more. Oscar-winning screenwriter Paul Schrader's hitchhiking days might be over. Schrader, who wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, recently attended a party at director Martin Scorsese's house. While attempting to pet one of Scorsese's dogs, the dog not only bit his thumb off, but ate it. Not a good injury for a writer. That spacebar isn't going to click itself. All worked out okay because Scorsese had a nurse on site. No word yet on if the thumb was able to be reattached or how long they had to wait for the dog to, well, you know. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms tonight, mostly clear, a little breezy, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, nice day, high in the upper 60s. Sunshine to start Sunday, then increasing clouds for the afternoon. Chance of storms late. High near 80. Right now it's 53.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Crude and Dom.
Dominic is in Europe on the holiday road, but you can hear some of the greatest radio shows ever in his absence. Tune in all week long.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I mean,
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are super excited to have our own WNBA number one pick of the Minnesota Lynx, Alyssa Peely, and we are so excited to have you on. Welcome to Native Roots Radio and welcome to Minnesota.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right on. So we have a wide variety of people listening all over the country, and we're blessed here in Minnesota to have a WNBA team. And we would love to have you talk a little bit about yourself and where you're coming from and who you are. So again, welcome.
Thank you. So I grew up in Alaska. I started off in the small town, Barrow, Alaska, which is the northernmost point. And, it's a small village, and I was surrounded by my native community a lot over there, my Inupiat community. So I grew up at a young age kind of being surrounded by that. And then we moved to the city, Anchorage, when I was around 8 years old, I think. And we just moved there for, more just opportunity and, just a bigger city. Our family was growing fast, so we had to get out of that small town. I grew up playing, all kinds of sports. I have eight siblings. There's nine of us. I'm the second oldest, and we all grew up playing sports. It was a part of our lives since we're really young, and we're all competitors. So that's where I get my competitive side from. Even if it's not sports, we're competing against each other and everything. But, I'm very family oriented. I was more surrounded by my Polynesian roots just when I moved to Anchorage, because a lot of my family was there. And, there's a huge Polynesian community in Anchorage and in Alaska. And so, I was just surrounded by that my whole life. And that's kind of just been the reason why, I'm so proud to kind of share that with the world at, a big stage and just represent my people. But, I come from a state where it's very isolated from the rest of the world. And I'm just grateful for, everything, all the opportunities that led me to this point. And, it was very hard getting out of there and making it to, the pros. So mm-hmm. I'm super grateful for my upbringing and things like that.
Right on, from a big family. And you obviously are a role model, not only to your family, but, what does representation mean to you? I know we're excited because you're representing our BIPOC relatives all over Minnesota, and you come here in a good way. What does that mean to you, being a part of a representation?
It means the world to me. A few years ago, if you would have asked me that, it wouldn't have been as big to me as it is now, just because of, my platform has grown and, my culture has always been a big part of who I am. But I think the last couple of years, I really understood and realized, the impact that I am making, and, that representation of your culture and just for the younger generations is super important, because I have little girls coming up to me after the games and things, and I can see the inspiration in their faces, and to see that is just super important for me to do.
Well, we have here in Minnesota the second largest urban Native American population in the country, and so we're really excited to amplify your work and the games and come out there and support you. What do you know about Minnesota Native history? Do you know anything about us groovy Indians here?
I don't know much. I grew up just around Alaskan Natives, so that's mostly what I know.
Well, we're a lot groovier here in Minnesota.
Yeah. Alyssa,
there's no like better time to come to Minnesota and to move here. So I just want to say, you know, welcome from, you know, from the whole Native Roots crew and to everyone here in the state of Minnesota, from all across of our 11 tribal federally recognized tribes here in the state. And, you know, it's huge. We have representation, whether that's, you know, state representatives such as Heather Keeler, Representative Heather Keeler, as well as our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who I know you've had the pleasure of meeting at your surprise welcome. I would love to hear a little bit more about how that went. And Peggy's speech was pretty amazing. You know, representation matters, and we've got tons of it here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I was super grateful for all of that. Like I said, when I gave my speech there, I was not expecting that at all. So it kind of caught me off guard a little bit. But, you know, I came straight from my flight to the arena. And so it was just, I don't know, it's such a surreal feeling when you're, you know, you're at the, you finally made it to the highest level. And for them to just welcome me like that, it just, it meant a lot to me, especially just with how we've been talking about representation, how that's been a big part of my journey this last year, and then just incorporating that in the welcome that they did, and, you know, bringing in the communities that, with the cultures that, you know, I share. It was just super cool because, you know, when I go to new places, I don't know if there's, you know, Polynesian communities or Native communities out there. So to see that there is, and, you know, they just welcomed me and are already, you know, calling me family, it's super special.
Yeah, and it's really super special for us to have representation. I always tell the Lieutenant Governor, I used to be a high school teacher, that it's so important for our kids to see you and you on the spotlight of whether it's professional team or politics. It's just so important for our young ones to see, because when I was young, we didn't see it. You know, I remember Sonny Six Gun Killer, and he was a BA, but that was 1970, you know. So I mean, you know, I just want to say a big peeny geegee thank you for being our number one pick, and that there's integrity. It's not only, you know, how you play, but it's who you are when these professional teams pick you. So obviously Minnesota thinks the Lynx think highly of you, and we're excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited, and it's an honor to be here. Honestly, like, if you would have asked me a few years ago if I would have thought I would have been drafted in the first round, I wouldn't believe you. So, and I've loved it here so far. The coaches are great, the staff and the players. It's really good atmosphere. So I'm really grateful to be here.
Good. We're really glad to hear that. And then also I wanted to mention, you know, again, going back, no place better time to move to Minnesota. We have, you know, American Indian Movement was started here in Minneapolis. And, you know, I think there's over 500 tribes of, you know, tribal citizens, let alone just living in our urban communities here in Minnesota. Coming up in May, we have the whole month of May as American Indian Celebration Month here in the Twin Cities and across the state. There's a big kickoff. We're opening our new Minneapolis American Indian Center, which has been a total remodel, rebuild, and we're excited to do the ribbon cutting ceremony. And we would love to invite you to that. And there's a whole month of celebrations, and, you know, we'd love to see you out there with community, and we're just, you know, excited to welcome you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Maybe the Lynx can get a float for the May 1st and have you ride the float, because I guess there are competitions for a float, which I've never seen before, but hey, you know, so we could get the Lynx out there and you riding on a big Cadillac or something.
That'd be cool. or the car of your choice, Alyssa, yeah, of course.
I guess. That just aged me because I was down with Cadillacs down in the day, but I guess there's nicer cars now. I don't know.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Well, Alyssa, I know that you talk about sports and your family has always grown up in sports. Did I hear right that you played football, right? Were you the only girl on a boys football team in elementary school?
Yes, I was. I played with my brother, and my dad was our head coach. And then I had a bunch of my uncles that were just over there helping coach too. So it was super fun.
That's awesome.
What position were you?
I was D-line and O-line.
Heck yeah. Busting some heads. Yep.
Right. Your brother, too, is he's playing in the NFL, right, currently? Who does he play for?
He plays for the Miami Dolphins right now.
Okay. Oh,
wow.
All right.
Cool. Wow.
I'll start cheering for him.
So how does it feel like being, you know, really not only nationally, you know, representing people, but also your family coming from a decent sized family? I mean, your siblings, you're still, you know, Alyssa, but you're also somebody to look up to. I imagine your younger siblings are like, I want to follow this path of my brother and my sister.
Yeah, really my biggest goal in life is just to impact, you know, everyone who is supporting me and everything like that. But really just my family, just because they've been everything for me, and my siblings, you know, they've been a big part of why, you know, I am who I am. So to be able to kind of pave the way for them and just inspire them and make them know that there is, you know, a chance for them to, you know, go big and chase their dreams. And my siblings are, you know, all of us, we're big competitors. So, you know, you have to be good at something in this family. So, you know, there's no weak links. So everybody is, you know, we show a lot of self-love, but at the end of the day, we all, you know, support each other. We all are each other's biggest fans. So, you know, to be that for them and just to represent my family, you know, I'm very proud of who my family is and just everything that we've come from. My dad's family moved from Hawaii to Alaska for better opportunities for jobs and things like that. You know, they didn't have much. Neither of my parents did. So to be able to kind of bring them up here with me, it's really special to me.
Well, this has been really special. We've been with Alyssa P. Lee, our WNBA player, number one pick this year. We're really excited. We only had a minute left. What are we to look for? Are you underneath? Do you do the sky hook? You're a three-pointer. What are we going to look for here this year?
Shoot. I'm not even sure yet, but, you know, whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do it. So maybe one. I'll do above.
Good answer. Big Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for being on. And we will be coming out there and cheering you on here in Native Roots Radio and talking about the WNBA and the Lynx all season. So a big Peeny Geegee, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Well, Haley, we've had an awesome show thus far, so it's up to us to either keep it going or totally mess it up. I don't know. It's Fun Fact Friday, and
yeah,
so we have to figure this out.
50-50 shot here.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so we got things happening this weekend. I know one of the things, we have a personal thing. My second daughter, Jelaine's having a thing Sunday for her baby, so we have to stop in there. But there's other things going on.
Oh, yes. You know, this is the weekend before we kick off the month of May for American Indian Celebration Month here in Minnesota. And Saturday, we have some fun things going on. This is the Osseo Area Schools Indian Education Wachipi, the 27th annual. This will be Saturday, April 27th at Osseo Middle School, which is 10223 93rd Avenue North, Osseo, Minnesota. Grand entries at 1 p.m. We have a senior honoring at 2 p.m. and a feast at 5. The MC for this Osseo Area Schools Indian Education Wachipi is Ricky White, the arena director, Richard Milda, and, you know, should be a good one. Otherwise, if you miss that powwow, there is one going on the next day, Sunday, April 28th. This is the Honoring John Bobolink Powwow, Powwow Healing in Four Directions. Again, Sunday, April 28th, grand entry, 1 p.m. The feast is at 6. And this one is located at Humboldt High School, which is 30 Baker Street, East St. Paul, Minnesota.
You know, our Choka or Dega Curtis is a West Sider, and he'll be proud. Maybe we'll see him get his little dance on over there.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Dega Curtis. But what else? We got a really great. We were talking New Native Theater earlier in the week with your Hinu, Jaleesa McKee. Yeah. And New Native Theater, I asked her about some adult workshops going on this summer that they could host. And she didn't have a date at the time. But as of yesterday, New Native Theater did put something out on their social media. This is a casting call for adult actors. Are you interested in doing a theater workshop with New Native Theater in June of 2024? So in a couple months, you can contact them at info@newnativetheater ending in re.org or 612-367-7639.
You know, you're newly out of school. Why? There's two different spellings for theater.
there is. Yeah. One's more of like the, I think correctly, it should be the R-E at the end. I think that's more of a professional way to spell it. But I know that some people do the E-R too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we have a pick of things to happen. I know we all want to be on alert too nationally. You know, I think next week we're going to hear something about if it's okay for the president to be a murderer and go against his country, or is there some kind of it's hard. You know, I just want to say this real quick about that whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And one of them is just, you know, I'm less concerned. I'm more concerned about, you know, who owns the Supreme Court as opposed to who owns TikTok. I guess I right now I'm less concerned about who owns TikTok than I am about who owns the Supreme Court. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It is, you know, a crazy time to be alive in our political world right now. And, you know, one thing we do have to keep paying attention to what's going on with our former presidents and our current one, and keep them responsible for their actions and, you know, take it day by day.
Yeah,
but the whole TikTok thing is blows my mind too. We're going to ban TikTok before we ban assault rifles, but
Well, and two, there's some senators out there that are heavily investing in Meta, and there's one in particular has put over $1 million in stocks because he was one of the people that want to get rid of TikTok. And I think, you know, if you're going to get rid of TikTok, you might as well, you should get rid of Google and get rid of the other ones too, because they're doing just as much harm, if not more harm, by selling our information. I mean, if my phone microphone's on and I say, you know, I need a nose job. Next thing I get on my phone and there's like all these options about getting a nose job.
Yes. I myself, and I know many other people, you know, you'd say your phone's listening to you and, you know, the ads direct towards exactly what you're saying. But yeah, I mean, goes to show, you know, you're talking about banning TikTok. Well, you might as well ban Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and X. I mean, they all do the same thing. You can still, you know, put your opinion out, a video, a message, and, you know, you have every right to do that.
Well, and, you know, that's the whole thing that a place like Amazon really didn't care if they made a lot of money in selling products, because what they said is we make money on information on our customers. That's what we really make money on.
Wow.
And so that's always rung in my head when they said that. It's like, well, they all are. And TikTok is one of the things about TikTok. It is, it's not monitored or I guess edited, and you can have whatever you want content out there within reason. I know there's a lot of keywords you can't say, like murder, and they say unwise and all those things, but there's so many statistics on how many businesses that need TikTok because of their social presence on that social. I mean, there's 22 million businesses, I heard.
Yeah. Well, not only is it helping people with financial resources, and also just as a Gen Zer who's grown up in social media and has watched social media really emerge as a kid and grow up with it, I can tell you, like, I've learned so much more through the TikTok platform than any other social media platform I've been on my entire life. So that's
a super good point. I follow somebody now. I can't remember what his name is, but he has been doing the whole TikTok versions with people coming in and talking with what's going up in Red Lake. And it's been amazing to follow because, you know, you'll have people come in and that are against Red Lake getting their land back and say, well, I talked to some Indians and they agree with me and you shouldn't be doing this. It's like, really? Who are they? You know, it's like, what? But just learning about the history, there's like American Indian Movement TikToks out there. There's a whole bunch. Like you said, I've learned a lot of things that I've learned accidentally over the a couple of years, which has been awesome.
Right. And, you know, it makes me think back to, well, why would people want to get rid of something that does, you know, make such a big impact? And I think this TikTok and sharing the information and sharing truthful information has made such a difference in the way that how our media is controlled now and getting the truth out there and debunking some myths. You know, what do people want to do when they're scared of something? They want to get rid of it. So I think that just goes to show how people feel.
And it really, though, Haley, it's follow the money. Like I said, we have politicians buying in Meta, Google stock because they're getting rid of the competition because more people are on TikTok than any other social media now. So follow the money. Enunciate when you're on the radio.
Yes, sir.
Hey, great show. We made it. It's been a week now. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground and is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. Vote, vote, vote.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, we play another round of three headlines and a lie you can play along at home. And then we talk Harleys this summer with Tim McCormick from the Harley Museum. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.